She began to sing in a mysterious, moving way. The music seemed to come from the depths of her soul, immersing us in sublime emotion. I have tried to recall the words of that wonderful song, but it would be impossible to repeat all of them to incarnate souls. The darkness of midnight cannot portray the splendor of the dawn. Nonetheless, I have remembered a little of it and I will record it as faithfully as I can from my imperfect memory. As if encircled by a different light in which we ourselves were bathed, Cecilia sang in a velvety and caressing voice, "I have kept for your eyes the shining stars of the peaceful sky. I have gathered for your soul." 193. All the pure lilies from along the way. My beloved, how long is the journey amidst the obstacles in this vast ocean of longing before the sublime moonlight of eternity? In vain, the fairy hope lights the light inside me. Why have you gone to the world like this? Return to me, my beloved. Even though your hands are cold and your feet are bleeding with pain, I bring you the relieving balm of tenderness. Return to me, come and breathe once more in the garden of immortal union. I will heal all your wounds of bitterness, I will give you direction on your path, I will love those whom you love so that you may bless me with your smile. Return to me, my beloved. Forget the pain and darkness of the past, return once more to our paradise. When she had sung the last notes, I saw her face awash in tears as if bathed in pearls of light. Very moved, Mrs. Basler touched Ismelia's hand lightly and said, "Cecilia has never forgotten him." Looking extremely touched, Ismelia asked, "Haven't you received any news about Herminio?" "The poor thing has experienced one downfall after another," Mrs. Basler explained, "and Cecilia knows that she won't be able to count on him for a long time. That is why she is going through such inner torment. Even so, she hasn't gotten discouraged and she works incessantly, filled with hope." The young woman wiped her eyes and returned to her family group. Ismelia embraced her and said, "Congratulations. I didn't know that you had progressed so much in the divine art. And what a beautiful song." Cecilia made a timid gesture, kissed the hand of her loving friend and replied, "Please forgive me, dear Ismelia, but my heart is still very much connected to the earth." Ismelia, however, with moist eyes and a full understanding of Cecilia's inner suffering, held her close and whispered, "To be devoted is not a crime, my good Cecilia. Love is the light of God even when it shines at the bottom of an abyss." Headline, A Sublime Melody. In a noble gesture, Anicetto asked Ismelia to perform some musical motif from her higher plane. She didn't have to be asked twice. Showing extreme graciousness, she sat at the organ and said pleasantly, "This melody is dedicated to our dear Anicetto." And to our heartfelt wonder, she began her extraordinary performance. From the very first notes, something uplifted me to the sublime. We were silent, enwrapped in ecstasy. The melody, woven in mysterious beauty, flooded our spirits with torrents of divine harmony. A range of the gentlest vibrations had begun entering my heart, when I was suddenly surprised by a completely unexpected impression. With indefinable wonder, I noticed that Ismelia was not singing per se. Instead, the sweet music was actually a prayer that bordered on the sublime, a prayer that I couldn't hear with my ears, but which I was receiving fully in my soul through subtle vibrations. It was as if the melodious sound were impregnated with the silent and creative word. The words of praise reached the depths of my spirit, causing tears of inexplicable emotion. "O Supreme Lord of all worlds and all beings, receive, O Lord, the thanks of your children, debtors to your love. Bestow on us your blessing, guard our hopes, support our convictions on the never-ending path of life. May our first thought of love be directed to your heart each day. May our joy in living be directed to your goodness. Father of infinite love, extend to us your bounteous and holy hand. Long is the road, great is our debt, but inexhaustible ones our hope. Beloved Father, we are your creatures, blessed rays of your divine intelligence." 198. Teach us to discover the untold treasures that you have stored in the depths of our lives. help us to light the sublime lamp of the sublime quest. O Lord, we walk with you in eternity. In you we move forever. Bless our path, point us toward the sacred accomplishment. And may eternal glory be on your eternal throne. May infinite light shine from you, may the sovereign fount of love flow from your merciful heart, may the divine breath of eternity sing in your infinite creation. May your blessing be light to our eyes, harmony to our ears, movement to our hands, impulse to our feet. In the sublime love of earth and heaven. In the beauty of all lives, in the progression of all things, in the voice of all beings, may you be glorified forever, O Lord. What melody was this, heard through unarticulated sounds? I couldn't contain my tears. Cecilia had touched our sentiments deeply, reminding us of earthly harmonies and human affections. But Ismailia had enraptured our spirits, uplifting us to the Supreme Father. I had never heard a prayer of praise like hers. Furthermore, she had glorified the Lord in a different way, one that was inexpressible in human language. Her prayer had touched the innermost fibers of my heart, and I realized that I had never meditated on the divine grandeur as I had at that instant, in which a sanctified soul spoke of God with the wonder of her spiritual wealth. I wasn't the only one crying like a baby. Anicetto too was wiping his eyes discreetly, and some of the women were holding their handkerchiefs to their faces. I realized that the prayer had ended because the tone of the music had changed. Its heroic quality had given way to an enchanting lyricism. Enveloped in the profound serenity of our surroundings, I watched as marvelous light poured down from on high upon Ismailia's head, wrapping her in an iridescent rainbow of magnetic quality, and in enraptured wonder, I saw beautiful blue flowers emanating from her heart and spreading over all of us. As if made of a bluish mist, they dissolved when they touched us lightly, filling us with profound joy. Most of them fell on Anicetto, reminding us of her kind words when she had dedicated the song to him. I was deeply impressed by those sublime, sky-blue fluidic corollas as they continued to multiply. Around us, penetrating our hearts like petals made solely of colored fragrance. I was feeling so joyful and was experiencing such good spirits that I simply do not know how to express how I felt at that moment. A few minutes later, Ismailia finished her majestic melody. She came down to us, crowned in resplendent light. Alfredo went to her and kissed her face while Anicetto held up his right hand in a gesture of thanks. It has been a long time since I've heard such sublime music as we have heard tonight, exclaimed our smiling guide. Cecilia has sung of sublime earthly love and Ismailia has enraptured us with divine, heavenly love. It was a wonderful idea to stay at the station. We have also been helped by the light of friendship, which has invigorated our spirits. The baselers approached, deeply moved. What marvelous flowers you have given us, dear friend, said Cecilia's mother as she embraced Ismailia. We'll return to work filled with renewed energy, added Mr. Basler with a smile. The large hall was filled with comments of recognition and sincere joy. Ismailia's melody had been a remarkable gift from heaven. Happiness and enthusiasm were written on every face. I noticed that Anicetto had withdrawn toward a corner of the hall, so I went over to him. I wanted him to explain the phenomenon of the wordless prayer, the harmonies, the light, the flowers. But before I could ask my questions, he smiled amiably and explained, I understand your enthusiasm, André. You don't need to ask. You were impressed with Ismailia's spiritual grandeur. I don't have to elaborate. Do you remember Anna, the unhappy creature sleeping in the wards and having cruel nightmares? Do you remember Paolo, the slanderer? Didn't you see that they were bearing heavy mental burdens? Each one of us carries our own personal archives along with us on the pathways of life. While evil spirits display the hell they have created within themselves, the good ones reveal the heaven they have built in their hearts. Ismailia has already amassed many treasures that the moths cannot devour. She can already give of the infinite harmony to which she has devoted herself through goodness and divine love. The light we saw is the same that incessantly pours forth from the higher plane, flooding the pathways of life, whereas the melody, the prayer and the flowers were the sublime creation of her own sanctified soul. During that moment, she shared with us a part of her eternal treasure. Let us pray to the Lord, my friend, that we have not received such sublime gifts in vain. Headline, En route to Earth. We still had far to travel, so after resting for a while the next morning, we said goodbye, deeply moved. I, for one, can safely say that I was very sorry to be leaving. I had received such beautiful lessons there. Alfredo and Ismilia embraced us emotionally and wished us a happy journey and success in our work. Several friends from the previous evening also joyfully wished us well. We were pleasantly surprised as we climbed into Alfredo's car. I would have a hard time describing it. It looked like a small automobile, but it had wings and was propelled by accumulated electrical fluids. Always attentive, Anisato explained, I didn't agree to use the car, because I wanted to enslave you to using less effort, but because our stay at the aid station, although brief, proved to be one of the most fruitful opportunities for acquiring the knowledge you still need. You received profound lessons regarding our disturbed and suffering brothers and sisters, as well as regarding the effects of prayer. Thus, our work has taken a big step forward, considering the fact that both of you are involved above all in the task of observing and learning. And after a short pause, he continued, but we can't take the car all the way to the Earth. I have calculated that we'll only be able to fly it until noon. Then we'll have to continue on foot. Anisato fell silent for a few seconds, smiled with a different expression and added, but we will have to go on foot only until you have acquired spirit wings, which can overcome all vibrational resistance. Such an accomplishment cannot be far off. Your wings will depend on the effort you put forth to acquire them. All who work and cooperate with their mind turned toward God can always expect the best. This is not merely a promise that I'm making out of friendship, it's the law. Always airbound just above the ground, the little car carried us over enormous distances. Almost exactly at noon, we parked at a humble rest stop used for refueling and repairing that type of vehicle. Our driver said goodbye, wished us a good trip and prepared to return. The landscape then became very cold and different. The road we were on was not frightening, but it was very dark and foggy. The atmosphere became heavy, which altered our breathing. Anisato gazed with us at the obscure vastness, and said in a grave tone, four more hours of walking and we will be on the Earth. Watch the shadows around us and take note of the overall change. Unfortunately, in most cases the vibrational emissions of incarnate humankind are of quite a low nature, and these regions are full of dark residue from the mental matter of unevolved incarnates and discarnates. We will be crossing vast areas that are not exactly frightful, but which look quite dark, nonetheless. In about 2 hours we will encounter signs of sunlight. Quite frankly, our pilgrimage was very heavy and harrowing. And only the dead, really perceive the enormous difference between the ordinary road linking the Earth's surface to Nosolar and the one we were now traveling on foot, having to overcome great obstacles. I felt moved as I pondered the sacrifice of the great spirit missionaries who help humans. I understood how meritorious their service is and how they need special personal qualities and extraordinary goodwill in order to give ongoing help to incarnates. Monsters hiding in the dark background of the landscape fled at our approach. They were indescribable, and in compliance with Anisato's orders, I cannot offer any information about them so as not to create mental images of an inferior nature in the minds of those who perhaps may read my humble account. At the time predicted by our guide, we caught a glimpse of the light of the sun once again as if it were early morning. The spectacle was magnificent and new to me. Mild warmth began to reinvigorate us. Anisato gazed at the wonderful sight of the rays of light piercing the darkness and with eyes moist with tears, he said, let us thank the Lord of Worlds for the blessing of the sun. In physical nature, it is the best image of God we know of. The sun is displayed in the most varied combinations within the solar system according to the substance of the realms we inhabit. The sun shines in Nosolar in accordance with the basic elements of life there, while it shines on the Earth in accordance with the magnetic qualities of the planet's surface. Furthermore, it appears differently on Jupiter and illuminates Venus with another kind of light. It appears on Saturn in yet another shining garment. Even so, it is always the same, always the radiant seat of our vital energies. Deeply moved, we continued on, and in a short time the sublime star appeared in the position just before twilight. On other occasions, the road I was traveling was always lighted and easy to navigate due to my volitation ability, and so I had never had to pay much attention to it. This road, however, passed through dense fog, and I noticed profound differences. At a certain distance, the Earth appeared, not in spherical form, we weren't very far from its surface, but as a landscape interpenetrating the vast regions of the spirit world. As sunset approached, the sun shone like an enormous golden lamp. Anicetus seemed extraordinarily happy and exclaimed, "We have entered the zone that directly influences the Earth's surface. From here on, we will be able to practice volitation by using our knowledge of transforming centripetal force. The light bathing us is a result of the magnetic contact between the positive energy of the sun and the negative energy of the planetary mass. Let's keep moving. It won't be long before we enter Rio de Janeiro." I felt the urge to ask something about direction. "How will we find our way around?" I asked. "Before anything else," answered our instructor, "we must not forget that our colonies are situated in the magnetic field of South America. Any ordinary compass would work, but in our case we must educate our minds and find our way around by using the field's unique energy." We used volitation once again, and shortly the forests of Petropolis came into view. A few more minutes and we were able to observe the major arteries of Rio. Then, at our instructor's suggestion, we proceeded to the seacoast to take long, deep breaths of air. Vicente and I were positively exhausted. We realized that the effort had been significant for our scanty energies. Passers-by hurried along indifferent to our presence, their minds weighed down with problems of a material nature. Packed buses honked their horns. The large bay seemed full of renewing energies. When the first electric lights came on, Anicetus invited us amiably, "Let's take a break. You two look exhausted. I'll show you that Nosolar also has some retreats on the planet's surface." Headline: A Workshop of Nosolar. Between 6 and 7 p.m., we arrived at a simple house in a modest neighborhood. On our long trek through the busy streets, I had been amazed by scenes that were completely new to me. I noticed the presence of many low-order disconnects following closely behind various pedestrians or attached to them in a strange embrace. Many were hanging from vehicles, and others were watching us from distant balconies. Still others wandered the streets in groups, forming veritable dark clouds that seemed to have fallen suddenly to the ground. I was frightened. I hadn't seen such things on previous excursions to the physical realm. Anicetus explained that the help we had received in the magnetic aid chamber to intensify our visual power had been quite useful. We were on an endeavor of active observation intended for our learning experience. Still, I could not conceal my amazement. The shadows followed one after the other, and I can assure you that, although they were invisible to the ordinary person, of course, the number of low-order spirits was no fewer than the number of incarnates continuously walking to and fro, up and down the streets. The serenity of Nosolar's environment did not exist there, nor did the relative calm of the Campo de Paz aid station. Unexpected fears settled in my soul, and unpleasant inner disturbances assaulted my heart, and I had no idea where they were coming from. I had the distinct impression that we were submerged in an ocean of very different vibrations, where breathing was somewhat difficult. Our instructor explained that with time our powers of resistance would expand, and that the uncomfortable sensations we were experiencing were because it was the first time that we had descended to the environment of the Earth for the purpose of a more intense analysis. He told us to remain upbeat and, above all, to conserve our mental strength in the face of any disconcerting scenes that might confront us unexpectedly. In order for assistance to be effective, he exclaimed, ongoing education is required. It wouldn't be possible to help anyone if we were tied down by weaknesses of any kind. Anaisto's advice calmed our astonished and uneasy souls, and I did everything I could to adjust to his reminders, especially because he stated that many fellow spirits postponed worthy accomplishments because of unjustifiable fears. The very humble-looking residence we were now approaching gave me a warm feeling of comfort. It was beautifully illuminated by bright spiritual light, which reminded me very much of our city so far away. I was very surprised to see our guide hesitate. Noticing our wonder, Anaisto pointed to the poor house and said, "This will be our shelter. It is a sort of workshop, an auxiliary of Nosola." I was gripped by a profound astonishment, but I had no chance for questions. I had to keep up with our instructor as he headed for the tiny house. We approached the garden that surrounded it, and I was astonished at seeing that numerous fellow spirits were in the window, waving at us happily. What could all of this mean? I had visited my hometown and former residence on occasion, but I had never seen anything like this. Anaisto understood my perplexity and explained, "Those are spirit workers who have taken up lodging in this tent of love." A very pleasant and welcoming gentleman opened the door to us. Another unexpected detail. Nothing like this had ever happened when I had gone back to my former home. Its closed doors were not an obstacle to me. Here, however, there was a vibratory sentry system in force that I had not known about until now. Anaisto wrapped our host in a friendly embrace, and then introduced us. "These two, my dear Isidora, are our friends Vicente and Andre, new co-workers from Nosola."
"Excellent!"
exclaimed Isidora, giving us each a hug. "Our activities need dedicated workers. Please come in." And in a hospitable gesture, he added, "This house belongs to all faithful co-workers involved in Christian service." This was the first time I had seen a spirit with such firm leadership in a house on the earth. We went into the modest place. I was greatly surprised once more as I looked around. Physically speaking, there were a few plain pieces of furniture, some old oil paintings on the white walls, an old sewing machine being operated by a young girl of about 16, a boy around 12 years old working diligently on his school workbooks, three other children of approximately 9, 7 and 5 years old, and as the central figure of the domestic circle, a woman of about 40, knitting a blouse. I noticed, though, that a continuous light radiated from face, chest, eyes and hands, which made it impossible for me to suppress an expression of wonder. Anaisto respectfully nodded toward her and said, "That is our sister Isabel. As far as incarnates are concerned, she is Isidora's widow, but to us she is a loyal worker in the activities of the faith." I noticed that Doña Isabel seemed in some way to be aware of our presence. She had a certain wonder in her look. Anaisto was quick to explain, "Our friend is a woman of great psychic clairvoyance, but the benefactors that guide our efforts have told us not to allow her mediumistic faculties a complete view of what is occurring around her. A full divulgence of the spirit environment in which she lives might jeopardize her peace of mind. So, Isabel can see maybe a 20th of the spirit work in which she is directly involved." Isidora showed us to a small adjacent room and told Anaisto in particular, "Forgive me if I cannot join you. Please rest as long as you like, however. I am urgently needed in welcoming other friends." Anaisto thanked him sincerely, and we saw that the room was nearly filled with spirits involved in edifying conversation. Comforting lights shone everywhere. There was an old clock, a large plain table, a dozen chairs and a few plain benches. The overall spiritual lighting, however, was wonderfully effective. Several enlightened, benevolent individuals from the plane invisible to humans were gathered there. Anaisto greeted the groups that he knew more intimately and introduced us with his usual kindness. He sensed our wonder, and when we were alone in a corner of the room, he explained, "This home is a workshop of Nosola. Isadora and Isabel set it up in an act of heroism and faith, having left our city for this enterprise over 40 years ago. Thank God they both bravely overcame arduous trials, and they courageously kept their commitments regarding their service on Earth. Isadora returned to our sphere 3 years ago, nevertheless, thanks to his wife's selfless nature and the links of spiritual love they maintain above all physical expressions, they remain as closely united as on the day they first met again in physical life. Because of this unusual circumstance, the authorities of Nosola granted him permission to stay on at the house as a loving husband, devoted father, vigilant guard and faithful worker. Perhaps observing our even greater wonder, Anisato added, "No, friends, chance does not define responsibilities, nor does it lend itself to serious commitments. Spiritual edification requires effort and dedication. Just as the ships of the world need firm anchors while they are being unloaded in port, we need courageous and selfless brothers and sisters who fill the role of anchors among incarnate beings so that the great benefactors from the higher spirit realms can make themselves felt among humans who are still animalistic, ignorant and unhappy." Home worship. In the early hours of evening, Doña Isabel left her needlepoint and invited the little ones to the home worship service. Noting the interest that the children had sparked in me, Anisato explained, "The girls are friends from Nosola. They have reincarnated for spiritual work and redemption. The same is not true of the little boy, however. He has come from a lower region of the spirit world. In fact, I had perceived the situation exactly. The boy was not clothed in luminous substance and he accepted his mother's invitation not as one who is happy to do so, but as one who is simply doing as told." They all sat so naturally around the table that I perceived that this blessed family custom had been a long-standing practice in the home. The oldest child, Jonina, brought notebooks and newspaper clippings. The widow sat at the head of the table, and after meditating for a few moments, she asked little nine-year-old Nalai to say the opening prayer, asking Jesus for spiritual enlightenment. All the invisible workers sat down respectfully. Isadora and a few of the couple's closest friends sat next to Doña Isabel, nearly all of them could be seen and heard by her. As soon as the worship service began, the background lighting became more intense. A deep sense of peace enveloped my heart. Little Nalai said the prayer in a moving voice, "O Lord, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If it is your holy plan for us to receive more light, then enable us, O Lord, to gain more understanding from this gospel study. Give us bread for our souls and the water of life eternal. Be in our hearts, now and forever. Amen." Doña Isabel then asked her to read some instructive and comforting words, and then something interesting from the regular news. Jonina did so, reading a short chapter from an instructional spiritist book about imprudence, and then a sad event from the secular newspaper. Isadora's firstborn, a very sweet and affable girl, looked quite upset. The clipping was about a young girl in a distant neighborhood who had committed suicide. The reporter had described the scene in graphic detail. Jonina trembled, grief-stricken. As soon as she had finished, Doña Isabel opened the New Testament as if at random, but I saw that, on our plane, Isadora was in fact intervening in the process, influencing the topic that was to be focused on that evening. She gazed at the small page and said, "The verse for today, my children, is from chapter 13 of the Gospel of Saint Matthew." She read verse 31 out loud. "He told them another parable, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field." I then witnessed an interesting incident. A spirit friend, whom I recognized to be of a very high order by his resplendent apparel, placed his right hand on the selfless widow's forehead. Before I could ask him, Anisato explained in an almost inaudible voice, "That is our brother Fabiolo. He is going to give the spiritual interpretation of the text. Those who are at his level will be able to hear his thoughts, but those who are in a lower mental zone will receive an interpretation of it, as will the incarnates. In other words, we will receive the spiritual light of Fabio's words in the translation of Isabel's materialized words. Our mentor could not have been more explicit. He had summed up the complex lesson in only a few words.